In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to episode number 5 of the Harmony Goal Podcast. Once again, our whole focus here is to find out who out there is doing things that are helping to create more harmony in the world and to make this a better world for everyone around them. And today I am really excited to have this guest. It's Trudy Olson, lives in Glendale, Arizona, the native of Chicago, and has lived in Arizona now for 48 years with her incredibly wonderful husband, Mick. And they've been married for 62 years. They have 4 children, 6 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. And one of the things that's really amazing to me is that Trudy and Mick epitomize the essence of what this podcast was created for originally. I mean, the whole thing was put together to let people know that, yes, you can make a change in the world just by being there and doing things for yourself and for other people, making yourself more resourceful to be helpful to other people. And so as we get into this, I want to share some ideas of what are some of the things that the average person can do. And for those of you listening now, I want you to get to a place where you can be jotting down some notes, because you're going to get some great ideas today about how to get off your duff and help other people be more productive in their lives and have a better life. So Trudy Olson, yes. One of the proudest things for me to even announce here is that you are my adorable sister. And so I guess I've known you for pretty long time. And so I'm glad that you're here.
He's my baby brother. I am his much older sister.
So, yes. Yeah, so Trudy and Mick are both 86 and are so active. It's amazing. Now, when they lived in Oak Lawn, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, is when they got married and had children. And they did the typical things with what parents do. They were active in the school. Mick is an accomplished pianist, and he played the piano for church functions, and Trudy would go out and serve food and all that sort of thing, always volunteering. But that was only the beginning, scratch the surface of what they've done. And then when they moved to Phoenix, Trudy was walking through the house one day, looked in the mirror, and what was looking back was a clown. So, Trudy became a clown. Trudy, tell us why you became a clown. What drove you to that, and what did you do with it?
Okay. We have a couple. My daughter, Jeannie, has a friend from grade school whose parents were very, very active. Their names are Doris and Vince. They were very active visiting homebound people, visiting nursing homes and children's homes for children, handicapped children and everything. And they asked me one time if I would go with them to, they just said, you know, if you'd like to go with us, we just sing. Doris sang and I kind of sing. I'm not a singer, but I kind of sing. And so Doris and I would go and sing songs in the background, and Vince would get up and talk. And it was just a wonderful beginning. And I told Doris one time that I was a clown for Halloween, just not too many years before we moved to Phoenix. And she said, oh, could you still have your costume? So that was the beginning, and forever and ever, I've been a clown. So that's about it.
So that's how you became a clown. Mm-hmm. But where did you use this? I know you've gone to nursing homes, you've gone to handicap functions, that sort of thing. You've helped raise money over, what is it, almost 30 years of clowning. Mm-hmm. So what were some of those experiences you had? What, where did you go? How did you get into like nursing homes and handicap organizations like that?
Okay, the first thing was I started clowning our parish church. had a fall festival every year, and I started clowning for that. And then pretty soon people find out, no, she's a clown and she volunteers. So I started, a friend of mine worked for the telephone company, and the Pioneer Clown Club asked us if we, I asked them kind of if I could join that club. I didn't work for the phone company or anything, and joined their clown club. They had all sorts of clubs. Pioneer did all sorts of different things, but one of them was the clown club. And so I went out and started going with them to a place called Pioneer Park, which is a park here in Phoenix made up just strictly for handicapped people. If someone was in a wheelchair, couldn't get out of their wheelchair, they would lift them out of their chair, put them in it. If they wanted to go into the pool, they'd lift them into another chair, hook them in, and they could go. They had a kind of a thing that took them down into the water. So I don't know if I'm explaining this very well, but anyway,
there you are.
That was one thing. Another thing, the one day that we were there, I was in my clown outfit and working with some people on one side. And one of the ladies that worked there came over and she said, would you mind taking little Sarah here? She's kind of upset with herself, where she was trying to play ball, but she couldn't hit the ball. She was trying to play softball, couldn't hit the ball, couldn't pitch the ball, and was very upset with herself. And so I said, yeah, that's fine. So I took her over and we sat down. I got her a cold drink and we visited for a while. And she said, I always wanted to be a ball player. And I said, you know what? I have four children and one of them is a really good ball player. Our youngest son, Ray, is really good. David is a basketball player. He plays the piano. He plays guitar. And, I just told him about all the different children. My daughter, Joni's very artistic. Jeannie sings and, plays the piano. And I said, but while I was saying this to her, she just kind of moved back in her chair and just stared at me like, what's this about? Oh, my gosh. And I thought, okay, I lost her. What happened there? I don't know. So I said, and so I just stopped talking. And she said, do they look like you? She thought I had four children that all came out as little clowns with red noses and funny faces and whatever. So I said, oh, so how do you handle that? She was like a 30-year-old woman, but with the mind of maybe a 3 or 4-year-old child, you know. So I thought, I don't want to tell her that I'm not really a clown. I'm a clown. In her mind, I'm a clown. So I had to kind of explain that, well, they don't look exactly like me. No, that, and tried to get out of that one. It wasn't easy. I don't even remember when I just changed the subject and we started talking about something else. So that was my cutest reaction to being a clown. But I did clown for our fall festival at church for about 30 years, then got involved with other groups and went to visit nursing homes and children's handicapped children schools and things like that. And it was very rewarding, funny, crazy lady. And now people are scared to death of clowns. So you don't even mention it. What you used to be a clown. So that's my clown story, I think, in almost a nutshell.
But you stop and think of the amount of time that takes. I mean, it's just, you talk about going, you clown somewhere and you do it for 30 years. Well, the amount of time of putting costumes together and putting the makeup on and taking the makeup off and coordinating that with all the other people, the time commitment is just amazing. And I think everybody appreciates. And the time you spent with her face to face, letting her know that she could communicate with you was fabulous.
Yeah. And I will get into the homebound thing later, I guess. And yeah. I talk about one-on-one. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. And then right behind you on the wall is a piano keys. Mm. And your husband, Mick, who is probably one of the most kind, wonderful, beautiful people on the planet, next to you, of course. Plays the piano, and he plays the piano for churches. He plays it but the thing that amazed me is the amount of time that he spent at the Veterans Hospital. and in organizations where they needed entertainment and senior centers and stuff. Tell me a little bit about some of the stuff that he's done.
Okay. For a while there on Sundays, he went every Sunday to the veterans' home, and he would play the piano for their mass, and then he'd stay there and play the piano during their lunch hour. And then at about 1 p.m. or so, there was they had an ice cream social, and he stayed and played for that. So he was gone from like 8 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon every Sunday, just entertaining there. And he did that for about 8 or 10 years. And then later on, I got involved with going to the Veterans Hospital also. And we'd go on Thursdays, he played for the mass, but we'd get there a little early and we'd help escort the guys from their rooms into the room where the mass was held. And then on Sundays, he also played for the mass at the hospital. So we would transport people over to the Veterans Hospital where the chapel was, and he played for that mass too. So, and he played for masses from the time we moved here, he started playing at different parishes, and he played at 3 different parishes over that 48 years. And then finally, we belonged to St. Simon and Jude Parish. He played there for probably 15 years or something like that. I'm not even sure. And then we started playing at the nursing home, and that was wonderful. So he played at the nursing home. I sang in all these choirs, which I'm kind of background singer. I'm not a singer.
But there you are. And the thing that's amazing is when you say you transported people to the mass. For the listeners, I just want to let you know that I had the absolute luxury of working with them whenever I'd go down to visit at Christmas time or whatever. And transporting somebody from their hospital into the place where the mass was, we're not just talking about going down the hall. We're talking about meeting people at the lobby area. There was a gentleman there who coordinated all that at the hospital. And then we would take people over one at a time from that building, and probably pretty close to, I'd say, 2.5 blocks on their property. I'd say it was probably about that far a walk to take people over, no matter what the weather was. And in the wintertime, it can be a little chilly in the morning for people, and they had to be wrapped in blankets. And the amount of attention that was spent, and one of the things I loved about Trudy is while people were lined up waiting to get into the place where the service was, she always had a cute little clean joke for somebody. And there was always the little jokes, and people would pull her over and want to tell her stories and that sort of thing. And to watch that, it was just like everybody knew her. And of course they knew Mick. And it was just, it was a beautiful thing to see when you see the smile on their face and hear these veterans that just spend their whole day in a room. And I'm going to make her cry.
A little bit. Those guys.
Yeah. But then Mick also did some other things. And I know Trudy's our guest here, but Mick is such a partner in this. For their school, every year, I think it's twice a year, they had plays. And the director found out that Mick knew how to play the piano. And he not only knew how to do that, but he knew how to make the arrangements for the musicals that they would do. And they did full-blown musicals with these young kids. And he was there not only for helping them put the music together, but for the tryouts and the rehearsals and the plays themselves. And I know Trudy was there right with him every step of that way. So that there's another place where they were volunteering. And you once again are the epitome of why this podcast even exists. So anything else about those school plays you'd like to share?
Well, it all started with Borgate High School. When our children were going to Borgate High School, they found out too that Mick could play the piano. So he played for all the shows at the high school, Borgate. It's Borgate Catholic High School. It's a real small little high school here in Phoenix. And then when one of the teachers from Borgate started teaching at St. Simon and Jude School, the parish that we were in. She called Nick and she said, I just moved over to St. Simon and Jude, and I just thought, Nick, we could do shows there. Sister Raphael wants us to do shows now. And all I thought of was you. You need to come. So we would go. We'd go to like tryouts. We'd do all the tryouts at St. Simon and Jude. This was that I was helping with the tryouts and everything else. It was gorgeous. It was just like you were so part of it, and just having these kids come in. Grade school kids. One thing I'll tell you about Sister Raphael at St. Simon and Jude is she insists that the children all get into poetry thing. They had to get up and recite poetry, do something from kindergarten on through eighth grade. So when these kids rehearse for the shows, there were maybe two shy kids in the whole group. Otherwise, they were all so used to getting up in front of people and acting and doing what they needed to do. So I know I'm going on and on, but
it was a
wonderful experience to see these children not be hesitant about getting up and doing their thing. And sometimes we'd ask them, well, just sing a part from such and such a song. And they'd say, well, I know another song really well, and I was practicing that at home. And they could say, go ahead, you know, that's fine. So the tryouts were fun, just seeing what those kids could do and how sure they were of themselves just because of I almost called her Raphael, Sister Raphael. So that's it.
That's amazing. See, this is once again the whole essence of what we're talking about here. Instead of sitting home doing nothing, you were changing lives.
Yeah.
Wow. And those kids' lives will be changed forever as a result of that. And Sister Raphael too. And I know when you first moved to Phoenix, you said you didn't have a real lot of furniture in the house because you were just moving in, brand new place and all that sort of thing. And then there was the opportunity to create an arts and crafts center in your house to help raise money for the schools and that sort of thing. Tell us just a little bit about what that was about.
Well, our children went to St. Simon and Jude Catholic grade school, and they had fundraisers. They wanted to start fundraisers, and what we would do is I would have arts and crafts tables. No, actually, our big dining room table was where we worked. I would go to hobby shops during the week and get ideas of what to make to sell at our Christmas house, we called it. It was a Christmas house. Oh, I'm starting in the middle of the story, but I'll get there.
It's okay.
I would go and take a little lesson on how to make something at a hobby shop. And then I'd have the ladies come in. Ladies from the parish would come over to our house, and we'd sit at the dining room table, and I'd show them how to make these little arts and crafts things. And every week we'd get together and have an arts and crafts fair at my dining room table. And yeah, we didn't have a stitch of furniture in the living room or anything, but luckily we had that big dining room table. So let me think. I'm lost.
So you were able to raise money though. You sold those crafts and raised money for the school. And
yes, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, what we would do, someone in the parish, usually someone that had big, gorgeous homes, you know, would donate their home for this arts and crafts fair. And we would make all kinds of things for them to sell at the fair. People in the parish would donate things that they made. And it was just like, we did everything
that's okay.
Yeah.
But you made crafts and you made things that people could actually do something with.
Yes.
That's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Your time, your space, your place. I mean, even the fact that you went and learned how to create these crafts so you could go back and show them. I mean, that takes time.
And one of the ladies from our parish, her name was Noreen. I won't give her last name, but she was so cute. She had eight children. And she came to she would come every week to the arts and crafts get togethers with all the ladies just to be a part of it. And she said, I have nothing to help you with. I have no ability to do this arts and crafts stuff. But she was Lebanese And she brought us Lebanese cookies and Lebanese everything. She was the best cook on God's green earth. So she would make the coffee and she would serve us lunch or goodies all day, every day. So Noreen was a gem.
Oh, I love it.
All our ladies were gems, by the way, that came to work on the arts and crafts.
Oh, that's great. Well, on top of that, I know Mick had a retirement job for a while with the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
And they would do fundraisers for the community. And guess who jumped in and was right there with them? Our wonderful guests, Trudy and Mick. So tell us a little bit about what they did there to raise money for the community.
Okay. Sometimes one of the things that they did was they'd let people buy into being able to play for so many, maybe an hour or something like that, bring a group from their home group. I don't know where some of them came from, in fact, but they would go out on the field and be able to hit whack balls and, you know, get up and try to bat a ball or whatever. And Nick and I played in the outfield throwing the balls back in. And finally, I could throw the ball like this. It went up and back down again. So I finally went over to the gift shop and I said, can I have a few bags? I need to fill them with baseballs, and then I can just bring them into to where they refill the pitching machines.
And I love it.
And that was one of my contributions to that.
But there you were. There you were, physically involved with helping. And the end result was raising money for charitable organizations.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's people sitting home right now saying, what can I do?
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to change the world?
Yeah.
Something as simple as that.
I could not throw a baseball, but you figure out a way to get the baseballs into the pitching machine, you can do it. Yeah. And I can't sing well, but I sang in the choir. You just do what you can do. And it's so rewarding. That's all I can say. It's very rewarding to be able to do things.
Yeah. Well, then, through the church, once again, you had senior groups. What were some of the things that you did with the senior groups? And I know one of the other things you did is you used to be the chauffeur. You'd drive the nuns to their doctor appointments. I mean, little things like that, that people just say, I don't have time for that. Well, you made the time for that, even raising four children. I mean, it's amazing. So what were some of the other things that happened around the senior center that you would like to share with us, some of your work?
The one thing we do, and we're going to start doing it again, because all the way through COVID, we could not do this, was at our parish. We run the senior group there. And not that we're kids or anything like that, but we will again run the senior group. And that was like for about 2.5 hours, 3 hours once a week, once every other week. Every other Friday we'd have the group get together, and we set up tables for anybody that wanted to play bingo. We're sitting in the front of the room. Then there was a divider in the room where the people in the back of the room, then if they wanted to play cards, if they wanted to just sit and visit and talk or whatever they wanted to do, they were in the back of the room. We set up the coffee and the iced tea and things like that. And then everyone would bring a little snack in. Most of the people brought a little snack in each week to share with everyone. And we would maybe go to a place where we'd get sandwiches or cookies or something like that to have there and we did kind of have a little fundraiser, but it was not anything. It was just enough to keep us going with filling the cookie jar. So that's about it anyway.
So in addition to the 2.5 hours or so that you were there, there's the involvement ahead of time and afterwards, setting it up, coordinating it, putting it all together, cleaning up afterwards, putting stuff away. So that 2.5 hours expands into a half a day, basically, of your involvement with that.
Well, so, and we had Nick and I did it, but with our friend why am I forgetting her name? Audrey McCarthy. Audrey, Audrey would help, and a darling little lady that comes all the time to the meetings. And
but that's okay. You don't have to worry about names. It's just that
Nellie, a lady named. Well, if they,
if they listen,
Nellie. Yeah. Her name is Nellie. That she. Oh, she's amazing. She's 92 years young and still very, very active. And we are going to start to be able to have our meetings again. We haven't had one for 2 years, and we're going to start them again in
October 11th.
Thank you.
Yeah. I knew that because I think that's a celebration day, because I know how long you've been waiting to get this thing going again. That's amazing. So for those different functions, you had to be the person to help. You were one of the people to help coordinate, make sure the games were set up. And the other thing too, that because I had the luxury of being at a couple of those meetings when I was down to visit with you. And you also coordinated to have prizes. People would donate prizes for the bingo games and that sort of thing. Wonderful little things, you know, little crafty type of things, or store-bought items, that sort of thing. And people just were so excited to win a bingo. Yeah, they could go over to the table and pick up a prize. And it was, it was really delightful.
We had one lady that won a lot, and she'd say, "I'm not taking any of that stuff home. I got to get rid of stuff out of my house." she won often too.
I love it. That's great.
The other thing with the senior group, we went on outings too. We went to different places, and in fact, the casinos. We take them to the casinos and everything. So it was really wonderful. The nun that was the principal at the school, is the principal at the school, would let us use the school buses if we went early and got home on time for the children to take their bus ride home. So that was wonderful too. Sometimes we'd even take a group of people up north, just not as far as Flagstaff, but pretty far up north to where they could be a little cool and, you know, see what was going on in other parts of the valley and everything. So that was it.
Oh, that's amazing. The gratification I just even see on your face and hear in your voice when you talk about people being able to enjoy that and people being able to feel that.
Yeah.
I think that the listeners for this particular program, if they've ever thought about, there's nothing I can do, I don't know what I could possibly do, I don't have any really great talents, blah, blah. Everybody can do something. Even just smile at somebody in the street is a gift. But the time and effort that you and Mick put into the things you do to change the world and make a better place for everybody, that is truly what harmony is all about. And then came, after all this joy and all this involvement and all this happiness that you've got in doing wonderful things for other people, COVID comes along. And the rug was pulled out, and you could not go see. I know it. I truly know you well enough to know that it absolutely tore you to pieces when you couldn't go see your vets anymore. That was such an incredible part of your life. The seniors, yes, that was really tough and difficult. But knowing full well that those vets are sitting in a room by themselves for the longest time, and there they did served our country so well. And then the seniors also, and also your home visits. I don't think we really did talk about that. You had home visits. Tell us about that, talking to shut-ins prior to COVID.
Oh, right. And now we're again back doing that, but that's wonderful. We go to Mass and get the hosts and bring Holy Communion to homebound people. The Mass from St. Simon, our parish, St. Simon and Jude in Phoenix, is broadcast. So they would watch the Mass in the morning, and then I'd bring communion to them after Mass on the way home. And just gorgeous, gorgeous people. And one time, at one point in time, I would go to just a little home that was in the neighborhood, a senior home. And there were, at that time, about 8 or 9 Catholic people that wanted to receive communion. So I would one of the ladies said, well, we can use my apartment. You don't have to go room to room and everything. So it was so great. We even kind of did not a mass, of course, but kind of went in and did like a service, a really beautiful service beforehand. And some of the ladies would do the readings and everything, or men. There were a couple of men that came, not many men in that home anyway, but a couple of the men, maybe they would do lead the Our Father, or they would read it, do one of the readings from the mass, and then we distribute Holy Communion, and then just visit for about another hour after that and just talk about our neighbors or something. I don't know what, but it was lovely.
But I know other than that group thing, when you would go and sit sometimes with people for who just had no one else to talk to, you would go and sit and talk to them. And because at one point you had some dizzy spells, Mick would drive you and Mick would sit in the car and wait and wait and wait. Patience galore. And so you had the chance to change people's lives once again by just being with them and talking and sharing.
Right now, I am going through that again right now with I'm not having the dizzy spells now, but I'm not driving again yet. So I will hopefully be driving again and Mick can get off the hook. But he doesn't mind waiting for me. He's probably the most patient man on God's green earth, in fact. Very lovely.
Some people might look at that as an excuse that they can't do it anymore. You're back doing it again. So that pain of COVID is beginning to go away. Your senior group is going to be getting back together again starting in October 11th. You're getting back to being able to go out and visit your shut-ins. And along with all of this, if you're not exhausted listening to what their life is like now, we probably really have not touched on probably 50% of the other volunteer things that they have done since they've moved to Phoenix. But during all of this process, they spend at least one day a week, or at least spent until it's time for kids to go to school, babysitting great grandchildren. So if you think it's an interesting thing to see little toddlers and little kids running around playing all kinds of games, watching two people in their 80s keeping up with them and playing with them and making their life delightful so they didn't have to go anywhere else for care. This was all going on during the time that they were volunteering to do other things too. So you and Mick have set a stage that is going to be really tough for other people to meet. I hope that the people listening to this.
One day at a time, Dal. Excuse me.
It is one at a time, but at the same time, I challenge the people out there listening to say, beat their record. What can you do? Even if you do one simple thing to change somebody's life, that's what this is all about. So, Trudy, what would be your, I know the veterans are your big, big, big passion in the world. What closing comment would you like to make to people to encourage them to go out there and make that difference?
Yeah. You know, I told you that I sing, but I don't sing real well. But I got involved in the choir at church thinking, what the heck? I can just be in the background singing and whatever. Just any little thing that interests you at all, or even if you don't think it does, if they're asking for help in any way, shape, or form, wherever you're involved, just try it. Just it. I don't know if I'm wording this correctly or not, but
yeah.
You don't know until you try. And I'm not real secure. I was, in fact, the most insecure child when I was growing up. And I kind of decided, you know, somebody's got to do it and I got to get out of the house. And that's how I started. We just kind of got involved in a lot of things, and you just take one day at a time, I guess is how to put it, and get involved with helping people. Even at if you belong to a church, I'm sure they have someone, you know, that you can speak to about doing this. Or if you belong to an organization, there's so many good organizations out there too that probably could give you a chance to get involved. And but it's a very, very, very rewarding. It's wonderful. So that's all I can.
Great. You are amazing. I am so proud to call you. Now I'm going to get choked up. My absolute adorable sister. And I could not have asked for anything better in my life. So, yeah, I'm very serious about that. And Mick, I know he's not on screen, but he is, what a perfect partner for both of you, and 62 years of bliss. And the last 48 years, I know for sure, heavy involvement with making people's lives better. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with us and for participating in this. And I know you're going to be able to change some lives out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
So for those of you who are listening now, if you'd like to go to our website, which is theharmonygoal.com. If you'd like to leave us some comments, and you can go to podcast for that, and or to Podbean, and let us know what you're thinking and what you can do to make a change in the world, because each and every one of us has the capability of doing that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And for the rest of you, I will see you, and I will be chatting with you again next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.